I hate to say it, but I don't get to talk to the Minnesota DNR very often. We got Ben Berge here as the regional director for, and you must be up in the area. I was asking him personal questions about some property that my parents own north of Bemidji, and I grew up a little when I was younger around that Bemidji area. It's such a beautiful area, but you got to pay attention to the rules and county rules and township rules. So, and I think people get afraid, you know, to ask.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's worked in state government here in Minnesota for about 6 years, actually worked in Wisconsin for 20 years. And I like to think of all government, whether it's state government or local units of government, is we're your government, or with a DNR, I always say we're your DNR. And we are here to answer questions and help. And we may not always get looked at in that light, but that's really what we strive for. We're your DNR. And when you think about the projects here in the Valley and the work that's been done collaboratively over the last, you know, 28 years or so since 1998, when the partnership came to be between DNR and the management board in the co-chairing of the work group, it's really about coordination and being making sure we're out in front of those things and being there to answer questions before they become problems.
I mean, if you pull your microphone a little closer, too. The other thing that I had somebody tell me from one of the NRCS offices is, please tell them we don't bite. They can even stop in for a cup of coffee.
Right on.
You know, we're here to help
right on.
You know, the landowners out there.
Yeah.
If they have any questions, it's not all bad or we're all looking to find people.
I encourage people to actually reach out to DNR staff or, you know, it could be any government staff. And we are people that are here to help mm-hmm. serve. Answer questions and help people navigate things. And I can think of here in the Valley, all the projects we've done in that fashion between whether it's local watershed districts, the Red Board, and DNR being part of that team.
Well, and the other part of it that I would recommend is, you know, obviously I told my parents, I'm like, I'm going to see you guys today, so I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions. Right. And it was easy peasy. You were happy to do it. But the other part of it is it takes the guesswork out, because then you can start to work and you're like, well, I'm just going to start moving this or I'm going to start doing this to my beachfront. That's when you get into trouble if you don't ask about what's the appropriate way or what permit you should have.
Right on. And, you know, a good first stop shop for folks is our website. Learn a little bit of information there, and then also contacts for who to contact. And I was just in a meeting yesterday. We were talking about the value of relationships, getting to know people, and it makes us so much more confident in the work we're doing. You know, if it's whether it's beach work that you talked about or some of the watershed work here, it's building those relationships to have those honest conversations.
Yeah. And instead of the midnight projects that people like to think they're going to get away with,
right on.
Probably not going to. All right. Well, let's talk about the DNR's role here in a water management meeting like this. Are you guys here to listen? Or are you here to give some input?
We're here really on a lot of facets. So myself, as the regional director for DNR, I co-chair the flood damage work group along with a member from the Red Board, and that's Dan Money. You may have interviewed
I haven't
him
talked
already.
To him yet. I think we're going to talk to him, Charlie.
Yep, Dan, you'll probably talk to Dan soon. And so him and I co-chair that work group. Here we also have a dedicated position in Bethany Bethke. She is our Red River Basin coordinator, works a lot with the Red Board, works with the watershed districts. And so we're here at the conference for many reasons. One is this, the networking opportunity, just to have those conversations like we were talking to, whether it's questions from the watershed districts or other folks on some of the policy and rules. We're also here, obviously, as part of the work group to help lead the discussions here at the conference. And, you know, this is my second conference, and it's really great to see all the different folks that are represented here. New this year, we have students that are interested in hazard mitigation work here from NDSU.
Right.
I think there's over 15 students here.
There's 25.
Or 20, yeah, they told me 15, but you're right, there's more. But it's great to see tomorrow's folks that are going to be involved in this work as well.
Yeah, that is fantastic. When you talk about flood mitigation and where we're at today, mm-hmm. I know weather has changed, you know, but we're still getting these torrential rains, which I'm actually surprised we're not getting more flooding damage than we are.
Right.
Are we getting better in better position with the flood mitigation that we're doing? Is that why we're not seeing quite as much problems?
Yeah. You know, I think it's a both, right? We've been lucky the last few years in terms of we've had some localized flooding, but the last few years we haven't had any widespread events. But when you look back since 1998, we've completed 19 projects across the Red River Basin. When I say we, that's not DNR. We're just a part of that team, right? And so collectively, this community, I'll say, of the Red Board and all the folks that's represented here have completed 19 projects. We're currently working on 20 projects that are in development. And so I think it's a recognition of the people that live here and a need to make change in order to prevent, you know, some of the problems that happened in the past.
What are the challenges like having like border states as close, like with North Dakota?
Sure.
Maybe not so much South Dakota. Maybe you do have a lot of discussions with South Dakota, but you've obviously gone through the wars with flood projects and different things. I haven't even heard a peep, to be honest with you. Maybe that's not your area with what's going on with the channel around the Fargo-Moorhead area, but I know that the DNR was a part of Minnesota.
Involved
DNR was
that.
A part of that.
Absolutely.
Are things been progressing? Has it just been going well, and that's why we're not hearing a lot?
Yeah, there's been a lot of progress. I've been lucky enough to tour that project. It is an absolutely amazingly large project that has obviously done a lot of good here for the people in this metro area. But yeah, things are moving right along. Minnesota DNR has played a role in it, but obviously North Dakota as well. And so we're not the only state involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great project, and I encourage people to look into that project either online or whatnot. But yeah, you know, I think one of the most amazing things about that project, and maybe you've seen, is how the aqueducts, where there's,
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. But where there's rivers flowing over the channel. It's just amazing. The engineering and the technology that's been put into that.
I'm waiting for the first fish to use the new expressway, the new off ramps.
Yeah. The off ramp. Right. Yeah. But the aqueducts have to be one of the most amazing pieces of engineering in that project.
It is absolutely crazy. What are some of the biggest challenges? And I'm not talking about somebody poaching or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about like for land or flooding or water.
Sure.
What are some of the biggest challenges that the DNR deals with right now?
No, I think the challenge that we continue to see is as things get more and more expensive and more complicated, obviously funding for the agency, and we just, you know, heard from Rob Sipp, the executive director for the Red Board, talking about the need just for funding related to infrastructure and flooding, not only here in the Valley, but across the state of Minnesota. And you couple that with the needs that are out there across DNR, even outside of flood mitigation, and just how we keep up with the costs. That is something that we can't solve alone. We have to solve collectively. And conferences like this are great as we get many partners together to talk about those issues.
How big of a curveball are you guys being thrown by what's going on in the world, though, with like inflation and rising costs for diesel fuel? And is that throwing budgets and monies out of whack?
Yeah, so we... I won't say it's throwing things out of whack. It's something we plan for.
Can you plan for that big of a jump?
We can't. You know,
okay.
But that's been, you know, the ups and downs have been happening for years when you look at the costs of DNR doing business. And so
I know that in talking to, just even visiting with one of the watershed members from the Roseau area, and I believe that some of the money, or maybe most of the money that they had for their project, for their drainage of that lake, came through the DNR. And I know a few other projects have had their money come through the DNR instead of it coming directly from the legislature.
Yeah, so,
is that kind of the new way?
So that's been in existence a long time. So our flood hazard mitigation dollars are actually bonded money that come from the legislature.
Yeah.
But they are distributed through the DNR. And so that grant process, it's bonded money that comes through the state of Minnesota legislature.
Okay.
Through our bonding process. But is distributed through grants by DNR. So that's DNR's involvement in the flood hazard mitigation.
For whatever reason, thought that there was two ways. One, that they could get it directly, or two, they could get it.
Okay. There could be projects that get projects that get introduced in a special bill that don't come through our flood hazard mitigation. But I think since 1998, there's been over $360 million come through bond appropriations to the Red River Basin, actually, to projects here in the basin. So when you look back over that time, it's quite a bit of money.
So what's your ask like then from the legislature to work on these land and water projects? Yep. Is it obviously it's a bigger number than the 35.
So yeah, that changes from year to year. DNR, we have to prioritize, but then also be real about what projects are there. I think, you know, one thing about being smart in government is not just what is all our need, but I think in today's world, we have to look and say, okay, what realistically do we need to continue? Because there may be infrastructure things we're doing that we don't need to do anymore. And so it's not just what do we need to repair everything. The first question is what do we need moving forward, and then how do we fund that?
And I'm trying not to get you in trouble, but I know one thing that, and Rob has talked about going down to testify many times. Yep. I'm sure you, do you get to go down and testify, or do you have higher ups who are in some
I have on other things, not on projects here, but I have on other projects.
I'm just wondering, and it seems like the legislature is getting it and the importance of these projects and the flood mitigation project. It was a battle in years past, and you'd have it ask for a certain amount of money, and it would get denied, but it's like, you know what? In 3 years, you can tack on another 10, 15, 20% on that total, and then we're going to be back again because these flood problems aren't going to go away.
Right. Yeah, we've been having that conversation with the Red Board. We just met down in St. Paul with the Red Board a few weeks ago, and, you know, that inflation factor that you see is, you know, really prevalent in these projects here in the Valley. That's affecting all state projects, and so it's not unique just to our flood mitigation projects.
Well, Ben, it's been a great privilege, I guess, to be able to visit with you and find out more information, and I can't strongly enough recommend again to folks if they've got really anything, but, I mean, whether it's land or water, and they're not sure who they should talk to, just reaching out what is the best?
Reach out to your local office. We have offices in many of the communities here around the northwest part of Minnesota. Reach out. It will get you pointed to the right direction. And sometimes it may not be us, as you and I were talking about. It may be a county.
Yeah,
but we'll get you to the right person. Or a township. Absolutely.
Forget those township guys.
No, you can't.
All right. Well, Ben, are you here for both days,
I'm here,
Ben?
For both days, you bet.
All right. Well, Ben, thank you very much. Are you stationed up in the Bemidji area?
Bemidji, yes.
Okay. How's life up in Bemidji? You got over that tornado last year?
Yeah, I was just going to mention, you're talking about flooding. We had a pretty significant event with those straight line winds.
You guys got walloped last year.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a large area of blowdown in Bemidji, and so it's keeping our forestry folks busy as we're preparing for spring fire season. Absolutely.
All right, very good. Ben, thank you so much for your time.